was thinking this week about how Sunday school has really influenced my life a lot. By a show of hands, how many of you are involved in a Sunday school class here? Just by a show of hands, you can feel happy about that. You can put your hands up. Very good. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you're not involved in a Sunday school class. And I'm also not going to do the tricky thing of saying, raise your hand if you didn't just raise your hand. Because I thought of that. That seemed like a real tricky thing. If we had a comment card, I would make a comment. But we don't. So let me tell you a couple stories from Sunday school just to encourage you to, you know, if you're not in a Sunday school class, you could find one, because crazy stuff happens in Sunday school all the time and people don't talk about it. Like, one time I was teaching a Sunday school lesson. It must have been around the time of Christmas. So we were talking about Jesus and his conception, the virginal conception of Jesus. And there were these two guys in Sunday school class. Both happened to be named John, not John McIntosh, but they're right there next to each other, both named John. One of them said, the virgin birth. Don't believe it. Doesn't mean anything to me. Little gasps. Sounds like the tires are going flat in the Sunday school class. Then the guy next to him, the other John, says, you don't believe in it? He said, no. And then he said, it means everything to me. I just had to, like, take a mental picture. Like, these two guys that were similar in so many ways, one of them thinks it's hogwash. Doesn't mean anything to him. The other guy, it's practically the cornerstone of his faith. And they're right there, rubbing elbows in Sunday school class, year after year. Another time I was teaching Sunday school, trying to talk about Genesis, talking about God. God creates the heavens and the earth. We're not too far. We're like into the third verse of Genesis. I figure Genesis is kind of safe, right? So we're talking about the stuff, and I said, you know, God is, you know, God and the Spirit of God hovering and the Word of God speaking, and this woman sort of could tell what was going on, and she thought I was doing something sneaky. She stops me, says, when you say God, do you mean God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I don't know why her voice sounded like that. Anyway, I said, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. She said, yeah, no. For her, the Trinity was not important. Nobody gasped. Probably one of those Johns was like, yeah. It's so fascinating in a Sunday school class when you get to know each other, when there's some familiarity, when there's some friendship, when there's some true fellowship, true sharing that Paul talks about in Philippians. When you have that safety and security, people let their guards down a little bit and they'll sort of say, you know, some of the stuff is probably not true. Or they'll say, some of the stuff doesn't really mean much to me. I tend to think about things from a pretty, like, theological and sort of functional way. And I know maybe some of you are surprised that theology and function could ever go together. But, you know, I think you think about the doctrines of the church, right? You think about God. And you can put Trinity with that or not. Think about Jesus, who he is, what he does. Think about the Holy Spirit, the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Think about the church, what the church does. And you can sort of put sacraments with the church if you want, right? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Think about the end times, end of history and the meaning of history and Christ coming again, right? Elizabeth and I, our preaching professor, used to talk about the doctrines of the church. He would say 7 plus or minus 2, So you think about all these, and if we were to lay them all out, we would all kind of feel maybe differently. There'd be one or two that were really, really important to us, right? Really meaningful. Maybe God is the most important doctrine for us. Who God is, what God does, how God is able to move through the world. Maybe that would be the most important. Or maybe, you know, for some of us, it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus, right? What a wonderful name. So different people are going to have different focuses. And then there'll be other stuff that's like secondarily important. And some for other stuff, like, it's not that important at all. Paul is talking in verse 15 about, despite all the differences, because there's a lot, right? There's a lot of differences. Despite all the differences that he's experienced with this congregation that he so loves, he says, let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. I don't know if that's passive aggressive on his part. Like, are some of the people not mature, Paul? But the goal is maturity, Christian maturity, to get to the point where we can say, we can articulate in some kind of a way, this is what's important to me, this is less important, this really doesn't really matter to me, but I'm not going to make a stink about it. That's the goal of maturity in our faith, to figure out where things shake out, what we're taking on the trip with us. And he says, so let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. That is shocking. This kind of liberalism in Paul. Right? Paul's a pretty rule-oriented guy. I mean, even after he fell off the horse, he's still pretty rule-oriented, and this is the right thing to believe, and then this is what you guys have been believing, and come on, come along. So the idea that you know, we're trying to all get on the same page, and if there's some disagreements, we're going to let God reveal it to you. We're going to let God sort of fill in the blanks of your faith over time. It's not going to happen tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning. It's going to happen as we live this life together. Right? And that's the cool thing about Sunday school, is you get to show up week after week. You get to talk about what's going on with you. You get to think about something a little bit together. You get to pray about things together, and then either you get to leave, or you get to come hear me talk again. If you're here, you don't get to hear me talk again. Too bad. St. Augustine had a great little thing. Probably he put it on one of his first bumper stickers. And this is what it said. It said, and I'm sure it was in English, because he was a great fan of English in the 5th century. He said, unity in essentials. We've got to figure out what's essential in our faith, right? What's essential? Some people are going to say, oh, the Trinity is essential. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because that tells us that there's something going on between God and Jesus, and we got to figure it out. For some people, it's that. Other people, not essential. What's essential is how we treat other people. Living a life of faith, hope, and love exhibited toward the world. That's essential. So our challenge is always to figure out what's essential. Because whatever's essential, and this is what Paul is talking about, let's be of the same mind. Is it having the attitude of Christ? Having this humble attitude of a servant who's willing to put others before himself? Well, I think Paul probably thinks that. I hate to break it to you. It's probably not about if we got anything out of it. Well, I don't know. I didn't really get anything out of that. Well, Paul probably doesn't care. Oh, he's not a boomer. Whoops, I said it. Okay, so unity in essentials. Then, Augustine says, diversity in non-essentials. Whatever's non-essentials, maybe that's like the second tier stuff, right? That's not, you know, well, is baptism an essential or a non-essential? Well, if you're a Baptist, it might be essential, right? But if you're a Presbyterian, well, baptism seems to be creeping toward a non-essential. Like, we don't want anybody not to be baptized. But we talk about how baptism probably doesn't make you saved. It's more of a reflection of what God has done in Christ. That seems like it's edging toward a non-essential. Right? So we have unity in essentials, diversity in non-essentials, whatever those might be. But then Augustine blows the doors off and he says, love in all things. Love is how we act when we try to figure out who believes in the essentials and who believes in the non-essentials, right? As we try to make those distinguishing between those two. Paul says, be mature, strive for that maturity, be of one mind, like that was in Christ Jesus. If you think differently about any of this stuff, if you're meditating on it and it's coming out a little differently, don't worry about it. Because it's God's responsibility to clean up the messes I make, Paul says. God will reveal it to you. And then he says a great line. He says, only, this is verse 16, only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Another differing translation would be, let us march together or walk together in the same direction. I think that is so good. We're different people. We have different beliefs. Nobody, you know, it's not like, well, half the congregation believes in the Trinity and thinks it's the bedrock of their faith. The other half says, yeah, no. It's not like that, right? If we had to line up, it would be a continuum. It'd be a spectrum on lots of stuff. But Paul says, let us march together in the same direction. And he's really got their number because he uses a word that's a military word. And there were so many people that were retired military in the congregation that when he says this, it triggers synapses from the days of old. And they remember marching together. And he says, let's walk together in the same direction. C.S. Lewis, in his little book, The Four Loves, has an awesome little comment about lots of different kinds of loves. And he says, and this may verge on, it's not a romance novel. The Four Loves is not a romance novel, but we may have some romance novel-y words. Please forgive me. He says, and I don't like this word, lovers. Lovers are normally face-to-face, he says. Absorbed in each other. Friends, side by side, absorbed in some common interest. So C.S. Lewis says that desire, eros, is a face-to-face love. It's very self-aware. I love you. I love you too. Face to face, it's almost, you can really make it silly, right? Friendship is different. It's a side by side love. It doesn't talk about its love. It doesn't talk about its friendship. We're side by side, observing something together. Maybe we're watching the game, and then we're side by side observing our grief that Auburn couldn't quite pull it off. Oh. But then we could also be side by side and we can say, but this is nice for Virginia. Remember how bad they lost last year. Okay. Right? It's a side by side love. And if we take that and we then bring it over with Paul, this idea that we could side by side in friendship walk together in the same direction. As we strive to be more and more mature in our Christian faith. Sunday school is a great helper for that. It's a way for us to build those relationships. And it's a way for us to realize that despite our differences, or maybe because of our differences, we've been drawn together in this place, and because of the fellowship and the friendship that we have with Christ, we get to walk together in the same direction. For that, we say, thanks be to God. Amen.